I stopped at the red light on the way here, or the stop sign, and I was thinking, the red light, down here at the corner of Delaware and Broadway. And there was no one there, and the red light seemed to take much longer than I wanted it to. Anyone have that problem with red lights occasionally? You're going, are you kidding me? The arrow people went. The next people went. These people went. When's my turn? Do, 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 do. I was like, come on. Got to get to church. And I could feel the Holy Spirit go, aren't you talking about pulling over today and being on my time? And sometimes when I pull you over to stop and get you to make you stop for a long period of time, it's to save your life.
Yeah.
So yes, Lord. I'm not upset how long this red light's taking anymore. Thank you for saving me from whatever I would have run into had I not been pulled over in the moment. Sometimes you got to thank God for pulling us over. I'm going to start today off with a video clip. I don't know if Dr. Heidi's ready for that. I don't see her. I don't know if that's possible. But I do want to start that off with a video clip. Say wounds. All right. This guy is famous.
It looks to me like when I'm connecting with people that a lot of things from the past memories, past pains, hurts, traumas, are being brought to the forefront for a lot of people with the chaos of the now. How do we start to heal the memories of the past, the traumas of the past, so that they don't keep hurting us in the present?
Yeah, well, he's my boy.
The first thing I would say is, you know, sometimes there's a crisis and well-meaning mental health professionals rush in to discuss the trauma while it's still happening. That's a really bad idea. People are generally traumatized because something actually horrible happened. And dwelling on it in the moment just makes it worse. It's not like anybody has a solution. Here's how you should understand this. You know, someone's just shot up your kid's school. Here's how you should understand this. That'll make it all better. It's like, no, it won't. If you have old baggage, that often comes up if you're having an argument with someone, doesn't it? You know how it is. This is partly why people don't like to have it. Dispute within a relationship because it's a thread and you pull on that thread and just caught. Well, that we had another rule. Do not agree with something you don't agree with.
Ooh.
Like if we decide, you and me, that we're doing this, we don't go back and say, well, I didn't really mean it.
Welcome to church this morning. Say wounds. Wounds. We're talking about wounds. Wounds are constant. And wounds are deep. Wounds are the reason, the number one root reason why Ethos Counseling is in existence. My job that pays us money is all about trauma. Trauma for your mama. Sure. Yeah, that's him. Yeah. But wounds, I think it's time to release all of them. I think it's time to release all of them back onto him. Stop holding on to your wounds. Yeah. Stop making the wounds the picture of who you are to the world. Healed wounds, great. Festering wounds, not so great. Most of us are around with festering wounds. It's also time, this is going to be a tough one, it's also time to stop wounding others. I won't make you say that to your neighbor. It could be uncomfortable. Stop wounding others. You know. So here's some recap, but I want to tell you that sometimes when I say it's recap, I'm really not being honest with you. It's reinforcement. I call it recap so you don't get bored, and so I catch you up, because you remember everything I said last Sunday, I'm sure. You're like, I can repeat it back word for word. I got it. Like, don't even make me do it in front of everybody. I should be embarrassed, you know. But I'm going to recap for some of us that have not such great memories, but also I think these points need to be reinforced if we're going to be healthy. Right. Sometimes I need to be reminded, hey, you need to start having more salads. I don't naturally just want to gravitate to the salads. I need to be reminded. Okay. Some of you folks are going to feel like maybe I'm rubbing against a painful knot in your life. and you wish I'd rather not. Rub, rub, here we go. Isaiah 1:6. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is nothing healthy in the nation's body. From the sole of the foot to the head, there is nothing healthy in the nation's body. Only bruises, welts, and raw wounds. Raw wounds not pressed out, or bandaged, nor softened with oil. Here's my question. Do you think our United States government and country is healthy? And here's going to be a shocker for you. The government will never make our nation healthy. It will never make our nation healthy. But you will. Say, I'm the church. That's our job. And our nation's sick, so we better get to our job. Jobs are more important than they've ever been before. And so what we go through today is going to help heal our lives so we can go back and do our job. I hope and pray. The world system can't straighten out or heal or soften anything, only Christ. You know, sometimes it's hard for me as a counselor. I see someone get involved in a program that's not Christ-centered, and I know ultimately they're going to be in that program forever, because they're never going to get the absolute thing they need. They're going to get some great ideas. I'm not against non-Christian counseling. But where they lack is the truth. And the truth will set you free. And the truth will heal you, right? He often brings healing through his church. Right? Say, I'm his church, so I got to get healthy. Oh, good. You heard me mumble. Excellent. Love that. He often brings healing to the world through his church, right? So I have a slide, I think. I'm pretty sure. I'm trying to get better with my own. That's a scripture. Do we have the slide? For chance? If not, I'll just read it. Yeah. Their healing is connected to you being healed. Is there people in your life you want to see healed? I'm not just talking physically, but I'm praying for miracles this during the season. The kind that only God does, and not someone shouting at somebody and making a big ministry out of it, just God just going boom, 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 healing people, because that's what God does. I love that. He can do it any way he wants to, like, you know, but that's how I prefer. But I'm talking about, you know, people in your lives that are so wounded that it affects how they live and see life every day. And they don't realize the victim mentality they push off to the world. Anybody know anybody? Yeah, me. Good answer. That's one of the reasons I love you. How will they be healed if you don't introduce them to the healer? And how will they get to see what healing looks like, see it lived out, if we, the church, aren't living it out? Aren't you glad I didn't make that slide? So here's the recap kind of last week. Are you healed up? Emotionally, spiritually, physically, from life's injuries or trauma. Are you healed up? You're the church, and you're supposed to bring healing to the world. So instead of beating yourself for not doing it, let's just get healed up. This is the season. Let's just get healed up. Give it to him finally. Give it to him. And let him do whatever he wants you to make. Tell the surgeon how to cut. Let him cut. It's his job. Did you even ask God the question when we were supposed to at the beginning of this series? I mean, did you go home? I'm not trying to look at it, but I don't want anybody to feel bad, but did you really go home and seriously ask God, am I wounded? And where is it? Question number two, maybe there is a slide. Yeah, excellent. Thank you, Kirsten. Are you healed up really enough to help others? Or are you just surviving? I've been living in my dysfunction so long, this is who I am. I'll just say emotionally crippled till Jesus comes back. Honestly, spiritually lacking until the Lord comes. I'm just going to, you know, like, I'm just going to deal with this broken arm. No, I'm not going to go get a doctor to set it, because I'm just going to live this way. But we do it with our lives, don't we? Are we healed up? Or are we surviving? And the third one is, are you healed up enough to lead? If he asks you to, how about let's put it this way. Like, I'm not called to be a leader. How about this? If he asks you to step up your Christian practice, if he's asking you to step up in your practice of Christianity, if he's asking you to step up in that, are you ready and able to do it right now? And if not, you need to be healed. Your wounds need to be touched because we need you, right? God's looking for his church to step it up again. Say, I'm the church. Yeah, it's urgent hour. We talked about that. And my last little question, so I get in some of the new kind of stuff, maybe. Maybe not. Seems to be tender right here, so I don't know. We were supposed to ask ourselves a question last week that was even harder, I felt. Why do we swarm to other people's offenses? Are we bringing healing or are we bringing toxicity? Why do we swarm to other people's injuries and boo-boos? Is it for our own self-esteem? Boy, I did such a good job ministering to them. I gave them $20 and I prayed for them. Hey, I'm going to do it again tomorrow. Aren't I great? I mean, isn't God great? Or, yeah, add your friend to Pastor Sean. I'm a friend of Pastor Sean, too. You know another thing I don't like about him? Let's make a list. Why are you swarming? Why are you swarming? That was a question we're supposed to ask ourselves last week. Why? Because we're the church. And we've got to be better than that. It's the season. We can't be what we were before. It's not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. So now in this season, it's time to get your heart exam. It's time to let God care for your wounds. Psalms 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He cares about your wounds. Look at your neighbor. Look to your left. Go, he cares about your wounds. Look to your right. He cares about your wounds. He cares about your wounds. You know, he's such a good dad. He cares about the wounds we even caused ourselves. Man, most of my wounds have been self-inflicted. Knucklehead. I should have just had a giant fist head. What's wrong with him? He's a knucklehead. You know? He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrows. You know what God's proof? Sometimes I will prove that. He sent Jesus. It's all the proof I needed. You love me enough that I'm going to chance to get in. I just got to. That seems like the craziest deal. I don't know why people don't take that deal. All your sick nonsense and dysfunction and trauma and sin, everything you know that you've ever done to offend anybody, God, and yourself, he said, I will forgive you instantly if you just bring it to my son and I'll clean it out forever. Come follow me. To me, I go, that's a no-brainer. I'm like, wow, man, did someone tell me that when I was being a knucklehead? I don't recall that was the deal, you know? Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded, say wounded, for our transgressions, right? I was grateful for that. I mean, it's a sick thing to be grateful, but I'm grateful. He was crushed for our wickedness. He was crushed for our sin. He was crushed for our injustice. He was crushed for our wrongdoing. And the punishment for our well-being, it fell on him. And by his stripes, this is the famous quote that we have, right? By his stripes, by his wounds, say wounds, by his wounds, self-inflicted wounds for our behalf. They couldn't have wounded him if he didn't want to be wounded. He surrendered to the wounding. We rarely surrender to the wounding. We don't want to be told what to do, how to do it, and where we're wrong. Let alone, I could take the beating. Jesus, I could have took the cross. You can't even take someone being mean in the parking lot of Walmart. The cross? You are deceived, my friend. Right? Our Savior took the wounds for us. Say, Jesus. So wounds, they are emotional, spiritual, and physical. They are often self-inflicted. We covered a tiny bit of that. We're probably going to cover more. Self-inflicted means the consequences of sin and stupid choices we make. I hear that, and I know, and I just heard that. Hey, Pastor, could you do that episode next week? Because I'm not going to be here. Sure, I'm not going to do it this week. I may not do it next week, so you can just take a deep breath. We're not talking about that today. Say wounds. We're going to talk about, eventually, God allows wounds, right? I'm going to skip through it today because I feel like we're supposed to be someplace else. Because sometimes, hear me in this, just sometimes. Say sometimes. The wounders and the wounded can be in your own friends and family. That's where I'd have my button and we'd go, shocking. I need that buddy, the elf button bad. You know, maybe I'll just point at you when I want shocking. You just go, shocking. You'd be my button, maybe. I don't know. But I have to honestly say is when I say that some of the wounders and the wounded could be your own friends and family, by your faces, I know that I touched a nerve. Remember? A flinch, a boo-boo. Don't touch that. I'm good, but just don't touch that. Not today. It's church. I just want to smile. I just want to hug somebody, get a cookie. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Friends, family, how many of us have them? Right? How many of us have them? You can have bad friends type wounds. You can have bad friend type wounds. And you can have good friend type wounds. Good wounds are the people that love you and are trying to get you to change something before it wounds you. And then you have bad friends. Friends will help you be offended because they're offended too. Those aren't good friends. Say wounds. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a good friend. A friend who corrects out of love and concern. Not all the time. And this can't be our constant mode of thinking, but at times, tough love is absolutely needed. It's not comfortable, but tough love is needed sometimes. It is. If you're a parent, sometimes you got to go, okay, it's time for tough love. I know she's cute, but we got to follow through what we said. Why? Because we don't want her to grow up being all that. Parenting's hard, anybody? Parenting's super hard. It's crazy hard because they're so cute, you know. We had this commercial, and I think it was definitely in upstate New York, but maybe it was a nationwide commercial. I don't know if you ever heard it. It's something about friendship, and it says this. Good friends don't let friends drive drunk. Used to be a commercial back in the day during my era. It said, good friends don't let friends drive drunk. Take the keys. Remember those commercials? Good friends don't let friends, right? What has been told to you by a friend that ticked you off, but you'd wish you'd listened? Was it maybe, don't talk about my debt to income ratio. It's my money. Don't talk about my relationship that I should or shouldn't be in. It's my relationship. Don't even address me, my attitude. I've seen you be fussy too. And all the friend was trying to do is help you. Right? And it says this, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Why? Because they serve his hidden agenda. A good friend may hurt you with honesty, but don't fall for a schmoozer. That's my paraphrase. The Shaka Posey Bible. You know, a good friend may hurt you with honesty, but don't fall for a schmoozer. Right? Proverbs 20, 27 through 30. The spirit, conscious of a man, is the lamp of the Lord, searching and examining all the innermost parts of his being. Well, it's the search me God season, right? We've been asking questions. Loyalty and mercy, truth and faithfulness protect the king and uphold his throne by loving kindness. Just going to pause for a second before I keep going. Truth is best served in the kingdom when it's seasoned with kindness. You know, I hate to quote Mary Poppins, but a spoonful of sugar does help the medicine go down. Right? The kingdom is seasoned. The truths in the kingdom is always seasoned with kindness. And sometimes, I don't think it was kind that you said stop. Well, dude, if I didn't say stop, you would have fell off the building. And I had to scream it. I'm sorry I screamed it and I was a little stressed and angry about it, but I saved your life. Instead of going, you saved my life, now you're mad at me how I addressed you? Say, I'm the church. I got to grow up. I mean, I got to mature. I'm sorry, that sounds sarcastic. I have to mature. I got to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. Yeah. The glory of young men is their physical strength. That kind of connotation in the word means like beauty or boasting of their looks and attitude and abilities, right? The honor of aged men is the gray head representing wisdom and experience. And then this crazy, right after, it's like, okay, I'm vibing with you in this. But then it says, blows that wound cleanse away evil. What are you talking about? Why are we going from there to there? Sometimes it takes painful chiseling in our lives to remove the evil that we had for so long. There have been some evil in my life that have been hanging on for so long. Some stuff, the first day I met Jesus, I left at the altar. And there's other things. Bishop Pierce had to chisel off me. Reverend Brooks, Trust me, you should be so grateful that you don't have young Apostle John Lazilang in your life. Most people don't survive that training. He loses more than he gets through. Well, I know if you can take it, you can take it. I can take you. If not, it's rough. He didn't go like, Sean, I just want to tell you that, you know what? You need to be careful. Because I'm concerned you're giving these girls the wrong impression. He said, hey, boy, follow Jesus, stop with the girls. I'm going to slap you. Yes, sir. Got it. Because that's been your problem, hasn't it? Uh-huh. That was my problem. That was one of my many problems, honestly. I want to hear about your other problems. I want you to work on this one. Yes, sir. That's how I was trained. Changed everything in me. I needed tough love. Why? Because I was a knucklehead, you know? And it says, and strokes reach to the innermost parts. This is going to sting, but some blows are meant to rattle our deep innermost parts. Boy, that really rattled me. Maybe it should. Maybe you should be rattled. Do we let him into the deep stuff anymore? Like the deep stuff. The stuff that, like, if it popped above your head right now for everyone to read, you'd probably throw up. Do we let him there anymore? This is something we should think about. This is wisdom that's going to sometimes deal a blow to our wants. Wisdom sometimes crushes my wants. I would like to drop about $500,000 right now up in Pine Top on a cabin for the ministry around the world. I would, and for my own family. And I would love to do that. And I probably could get the finances. I probably could do all that. Take out the loan. But wisdom told me, don't do it that way. Wait on me. Wisdom sometimes deals a blow to my wants. Sometimes it deals a blow to my will. Often it deals a blow to my ego. Anybody else? And then when he does that, that's good for us. Why? Because he loves us, right? Maybe you need to write that down, bro. Wisdom sometimes will wound you. Let it. Right? Here's another hard fact. Don't steep yourself in foolish and unwise friendships. I'm not saying don't have them. Don't steep yourself in them. Don't be a tea bag in their toilet water. Good tea, but I don't want to drink that water. Right? You don't want to do that. But do not steep yourself in unwise friendships, or you may end up with wounds and permanent damages. Right? And I guarantee this as well, you're going to end up wounding others. Others are going to get wounded in that process. Zechariah 13:6. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Then they will answer, these wounds I received in the house of my friends. They happen. But you know, I want to dive a little deeper right there, because I want us to feel that. Sometimes we get wounded. We've been talking about this week, I'm talking about friend, family wounds. So we're hovering there. Because I believe at the end of service, I'm going to open the altar up, and we're going to have some worship, and you're going to give stuff to God, and God's going to heal deep wounds in your life that got done to you, but he's also going to remind you what you've wounded, and he's going to make sure that you're taking care of that. Why? Because that's what healthy does. We're going to be healthy this year. I'm determined. We'll be healthy, we're going to be dead. I'm going to get it done. That kind of training. But I want us to look deeper at this moment. House of my friends. It says, because if you look deeper, you want to feel really bad for this guy, don't you? Like he's the victim. But you know what they were doing? This rest of this chapter, I don't want to put it there for, I'll paraphrase it for you. These guys that used to be elders and servants in the house of God, when they got taken over because they weren't listening to God and the nation was being ransacked, these guys decided that we're going to go back to the old ways, kind of the pagans, we're going to cut ourselves and throw sackcloth and ashes and cry and scream out so God will hear us. That's not what God asked him to do. But he went to the house of his friend and said, yeah, I'll do that with you. Yeah, you don't got to seek God that way. This is how we'll seek God. My way. Happens all the time. Right? Men of God cutting themselves. It looks like humility, but it's not. Friends that do not encourage health in your life are not good friends. Trust me. For many years, I lost the only brothers I ever had. I had nobody. No one. My parents were against me because I got saved. My friends dropped me because I wasn't doing coke and running around like a crazy man. I was trying to talk to them about Jesus, probably overbearingly. I didn't know any better. I just know I radically found Jesus. I wanted them too because I love them. They're the only brothers I had. But I spent 20 years without them. Why? Because it wasn't healthy for me. I wasn't mature enough to be in the toilet water. Called to go there sometimes, you're just not called to live there. When you do, that causes problems, right? Friends that encourage you to do toxic type things are not good for you. Let's look at the friends and family plan. Sometimes it is very important that we think this. Father, this is what I'd like from healing. Here are my wounds. I want to focus on me for a minute and tell you all my hurts. And that needs to happen today. Some of you need to let that out to him, because that's going to heal you. But I'm also going to ask this. This is the harder ask, because we always see our own wounds. We always know where someone else did something to us. And if we're ever going to get free, there's things we need to surrender and repent from, right? There's things we need to ask forgiveness for. So I don't always want us thinking about how we could be healed during this season, but that's primary. I also want you to think, how can I be a healthier member to other people in my life? I need to bring healing there because I know they're wounded. Maybe they're wounds I caused. I got to have the maturity enough to go, hey, I've been in those things before. People have come to me before and like, Pastor, I just finally forgave you. I was like, what? Well, that thing you said at church, using that analogy about this, and I knew you were talking to me. I'm like, I was. I didn't know you had chickens, you know? Like, yeah. And I'm pretty upset about it. And, you know, I finally forgave you because you sometimes are just this way. But I forgave you because you are, and, you know, like, dude, are you really forgiving me or just telling me that you're upset? And I have other people that came to me and go, hey, dude, I'm sorry. I'm like, nah, I got you. I love you. And you know where it's coming from. And other ones like, oh, no, you're not asked for an apology. You just want to vent. Somehow you think it's still my fault. But you're forgiving me for it. Anybody ever have those conversations? Come on. Thank you, church. Most of the time, we should be start thinking about other people's health. But we got to get healthy to do that, right? Today is not about good wounds or faithful friends that you should have listened to. And I'm not going to talk about that anymore, I hope. I want to talk about the closed circle of boo-boos to the ones that we give each other. Our giving of boo-boos, not just our getting of boo-boos. Sometimes, I don't know if this catches you off guard, but sometimes wounds are done by people. Say, the people. Ah, the people. Right? Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates those it wounds and crushes. And a flattering mouth works ruin. Say, don't be that person. Look, the reason I picked that scripture is this is an indemnity picture of this one thing. Lack of truth will get you wounded every time. Lack of truth will get you wounded every time, and it will crush you in the end. Now, I want to say that slower because there's a lot of levels to that. Lack of truth. Let me take it on the deeper level. Lack of truth, not knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, lack of that truth in someone's life is going to crush them in the end. Good friends of mine, I think, are probably in hell. I got to live with that. I'd like to make up fuzzy stories that probably they did this and probably, I don't know, and what I saw at the end, there'd be no clues to that. Those are tough things. The lack of truth in your life will crush you in the end. But also think about it in things, the lack of truth, the lack of having full understanding before you go into a project, a situation. How many times you go, man, if I would have known that, I would have never bought that car. Right? If I would have known that, man, I would have never took that job on. They're picky at the church. You know? Dang. You know? But think on it for a minute. Where you have lack of truth is where you're going to get wounded most of the time. Friends are supposed to be truthful. Truth heals and brings freedom. I was so tempted. I know it would have bothered all the women probably. I wanted to put the when I hear that quote, I hear freedom, I cannot help but hear William Wallace in Braveheart. Freedom! And I wanted to scream it out, you know, because that's what we really absolutely need. But only way to get it is with truth and to let truth be applied. You know? But here's a problem that some people have, some Christians. Make sure that it's truth you're shouting or sharing. Don't be a toxin. Because sometimes what we think is truth is just our very strong opinion. Sometimes what we think of truth is our very strong opinion. We don't need just very strong opinion, we need truth. Very strong opinions often wound more than they heal. And if it's truth, then serve truth like the healing balm it's meant to be. Dr. Heidi always uses this analogy in our counseling sessions for married couples. She said, say that Pastor Sean and I got you a Kobe beef steak and we made it perfectly. And you had all the sides you wanted and you came over for dinner, right? And we served it one or two ways. Thanks for coming. Here's a steak. Take it. Throwing it on your chest. It bounces off your chest, onto the floor. You're like, and your shirt's all greasy. Now, most of the carnivorous men will still eat that steak. It's only hit the ground 10 seconds. But most of you go, I ain't going to eat that. But what if I bring to you a point, like I just want to talk to you and tell you where you're kind of wrong, and I'm just going to keep telling you over and over again, repeat myself over and over, and I'm going to blend that shake up until it's a smoothie. Oh, okay. Here's your meat smoothie. Bon appetit. So same meat. Same meal. What's the difference? It was served really badly. That's what the church does with God all the time. We blend it or we throw it. It's time we learn how to serve it. Don't not serve the truth. Honestly, honey, you're going to need to eat the spinach. Why? Because you're going to need to eat it. It's going to be good, strong. You need that, la, 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 all the parent stuff. You're eating. Don't, you're not getting up from the table and getting the cookie to eat the spinach. Why? Because it's good for you. You got to have some truth, even if you don't like it. It's good for you, right? Make sure it's truth. Also, a small thing to point out that maybe we should ponder. Some woundings that we have and it kept accruing, you know, kept building, are because of maybe our mistimed or misapplied freedoms. Our mistimed and our misapplied freedoms. I'm going to extrapolate on that in a minute. Even freedoms that we're given from God can wound other people, even though it's our freedom. And absolutely okay, our freedom. And God is not a sin for me, and I'm doing, God is okay with me. But sometimes even those things can wound. Right? They can. Let's check on it in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 8, 9 through 13. This is going to sting a little. Only be careful that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block. Only be careful that this liberty of yours does not become a stumbling block. That is, your freedom being a temptation to sin for the weak. Yeah, I'm going to get into it. It don't matter to me. A temptation to sin to the weak. For someone sees you, a person having knowledge, knows Christ, eating in an idol's temple. Then, if he is weak, will he not be encouraged to eat things sacrificed to idols and violate his convictions? I got to pause right there. That's Old Testament mixed with New Testament, right? Because the Old Testament has to say, do not eat meat sacrificed to idols. Serve one God. Do not go over there and get the meat. Do not be part of that. All right, God. So they're like, yeah, good Hebrews, right? That's what we're going to do. And then all of a sudden this comes along. A heart issue starts to happen, right? And sometimes you could shop someplace. How do I say that to you? Some things that we do. I'll use this analogy again, and I'm going to tell you what happened the last time I used this analogy. Some people left the church and said I was promoting something I didn't promote, and I'm going to cover it. But if you saw, where's my youth pastors in there? If you saw Pastor Jody having a glass of wine out of Olive Garden and you judged her as sin, you'd be the one in sin. You would be in judgment. I'm not condoning alcoholism or the over-drinking or drinking at all necessarily. Someone said I was promoting that by giving that analogy. I'd say you would be in sin if you judged her. But you know what? What if Pastor Joni decided she was going to go out with someone she knew was an alcoholic? She knew they struggled, but she had her freedom. She's good. I'm going to have it then. It's not my problem. Guess what? She'd be in sin. We got to remember that kind of stuff. Our freedoms can harm other people. Not that you can't have your freedom, but you got to not let your freedom be excessive to somebody else's problem. That's the church. We got to be careful, right? That's where wounds happen. It says, for though your knowledge and spiritual maturity, this weak man is ruined. That is, he suffers in the spiritual life, the brother whom Christ died for. And when you sin against the brothers and sisters in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Okay, I don't want that. Therefore, if eating a certain food causes my brother to stumble and sin, I will not eat such a meat ever again, so that it will not cause my brother to stumble. Paul's saying that don't matter that much to me if it's going to cause anybody to stumble. I just won't do it then. Doesn't mean if Paul decided I'm home by myself, I'm going to have a glass of wine, I'm going to watch the Bulls play. If you have a situation in your life that you know this is a problem for someone else, but not for me, then it's a problem for you. That's all that's trying to say. Say, I'm the church. Right? We need to care that much is the point of that. We so much want to protect our freedoms, and I love that. But not at the expense of other people. That's not Jesus, and that's not easy, right? Say, love is not self-seeking, right? Jesus said that to us. Be free, just don't ever let your freedoms enslave somebody else. We all need healing from our choices. All of us, the choices, the stuff that we may have never given to Jesus. Anytime it gets talked about, you kind of get uncomfortable. You never just do a thing, and then maybe that thing caused some wounds, but it was your thing. You know, there's that, what's that statement? It's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission. Anybody ever follow that rule of thinking? How'd it go? How is it going well? Is it the suggested way to do things? No, I bet there were some boo-boos somewhere along the way. Yeah. And now that thing that you did is still causing wounds. We need to get forgiveness from God. We need to get forgiveness from God. But also it's our responsibility, and that's a bad word, responsibility, to confess, kind of, and take actions regarding the things that we've wounded other people and the Lord. Taking responsibility. Before a confession time, and I want to have a time where you're not going to shout out your confessions, but I want to open up the altar when it's time. And I call this the altar. This is the front of the church, right? Open up the altar for people. And I don't usually call people on the sheets. You know, often I just pray, raise your hand if this is you, right? That's me. Sometimes we make a better commitment than that. Sometimes you got to stand up. Sometimes you got to come forward and go, I'm in. You don't know what I'm talking to God about, but he does. And I'm up front going, I'm here, Father. I'm right here, and I need that. And I don't care what they think or they think. Why? Because my freedom and my healing is more important than what anybody else thinks. Why? Because I'm sick. I can't be who you are in the world. I can't walk around sick anymore. And if I'm afraid to get healed because this person next to judging me, then oh my goodness. How difficult is my life? It's time to make it simple again. Let's just get healed. Just right from him. James 2:13. For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. But to the one who has shown mercy, mercy triumphs over judgment. Say, I'm the church, and I'm filled with grace. Right? Because he's not coming up to smack us in the butt. He's not trying to make you feel bad about yourself. He's trying to go, I don't want you hurt anymore. It's time. You've been carrying that for so long. It's gotta be over today. Stop making that your tattooed life motto. It is not. It's time to be healed and be the church. Because I look around this room and I see the amount of people that could take the love of God out of your in from your life and how this city could change. Like I look around here and go, there's world changers right here, Lord. If they just get healed up and ready to serve you some crazy way, we're not going to have enough space in here, and I don't want to go to two services. Why? Because I like football on Sunday after church. Christian, don't judge me. Take a deep breath. After all, now could be your day of freedom. Ask God if this could be applied to you, the church. And I'm going to read another scripture, and we're probably going to do some prayer in a second. Revelations. I know I never use that, right? The book of Revelations. I'll pray. Revelations 16, 10 through 11. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and the kingdom was plunged into darkness. And the people gnawed their tongues because of the pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because their anguish and their sores were great. And they did not repent from what they had done, nor hate their own wickedness. You know what's crazy about that pass? That's the judgment of God, but it was a choice they made. Other angels had come along and go, hey, stop it. What? No, the end is actually coming, and it's real, and it's going to be going down, and look around the earth. It's groaning. Do you see that? Yeah, stop, stop, stop. Another angel comes, goes, stop, stop, stop. Another angel goes, stop, stop, stop. And then this angel finally said, enough. You want to keep blaming God for the choices you've made? In the end, it won't turn out well for you. Don't let the wounding be your final consequence. Don't let a wound kill you. Do not let a wound kill you. Especially when it can be healed. Don't let it happen. Confession and repentance are unpopular things to say in our society. And that's why you have such infection running rampant. Hosea 6:1. Come and let us return in repentance to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bring us bandages. 1 John 1:9. If we freely admit that we have sinned, one of the things I love about a huge percent of the men in this church, their honesty in those moments. I've been in churches where those things are said and not a single person raised their hand. And the pastor get talked to after church about, and I got guys here to go, I'm in. And I'm proud to be your pastor. Says, we have freely admit that we have sinned. Admit we have sinned and confess our sins. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks, right? Out of through the mouth. He is faithful and just, true of his own nature and promises. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness, our wrongdoing, everything not in conformity with his purpose. Now here's the action step coming as the church. My last scripture, and we're going to do some action. Matthew 5, 23. So if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and while there you remember that your brother has something as a grievance against you, legitimate complaint, a real problem you actually caused him, a real uncomfortability you should take ownership of. It's difficult to hear, but not always is it everyone else's fault. It's not always everyone else's fault. This is also true. We must own the problem of wounding others. It says, while there, if you remember that your brother has something such as a grievance or a legitimate complaint against you, leave the offering there at the altar and go. It makes me think, do we bring anything to the altar anyways? Like, do we offer anything? Half the Christian world doesn't do what God says to do with their money. We got to get a new AC unit. I hope the giving thing gets worked out in your heart and life because I need a new AC unit. But do we bring not just our finances, but how about, do we even bring the offering of worship? Or are we just singing a song, waiting for Hannah to close in prayer? It says, leave your offering there at the altar and go. Leave the gift on the altar, then go. First, make peace with your brother. First, make peace with your brother. And then come and present your offering. I think I didn't tell you the truth. Please forgive me. I do want to do another scripture because I think it's going to be important. We are called not only to be healed, but we're called to be healing. And he's going to give us the power to do it because we know we can't. James 5:16. This is going to be pretty powerful. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Sometimes you need to do that. Need an accountability partner? Why does that happen? Hey, I'm having a problem with this, and I've confessed it. Jesus forgave me. I spent time. I'm actually maybe getting some counseling about it. I'm putting some skin in the game. I'm spending money on counseling because I want to be healthy, and I'm doing all those things. But at the end of the day, I need a brother who doesn't judge me and who's also going to be correct me when I'm out of line and go, hey, I'm going to tell you this because I'm trusting that you love me, and I need you checking on me. There's a friend of mine from high school, way back. We go before high school. He got his sobriety. And once a month, I send him a text, how we do it. And it's been almost a year now, and I will keep sending that text. Why? Because he asked me to be involved with the sobriety. I think we should be more involved with each other sometimes. You got to confess where you're at to someone who can really help you. Right? Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. That you might be healed and restored. It says, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of the righteous man is able to accomplish much. So here's the question. Do you need prayer today? Do you need Jesus' healing about in anything, relationships? Do you need to ask forgiveness for being infectious to someone else's life? And you recognize it like, yeah, I need some forgiveness there. Maybe you need to fix something. I'm not saying you have to, but maybe there is something you go, as soon as I get out of here, I got to go fix that, Pastor. As soon as service is over, that's my next thing. I'm going to make that phone call. Serve it well if that's you. Even if they don't want to eat your steak, you serve it well. Don't make it their fault again. Serve it well. Do you need to offer something on the altar today? Maybe there's something I've not given in my heart, my life, or anything in me. I recommend that you do it before you leave. If you need prayer for, I've never really let Jesus in any area of my life, I've never accepted him as the Lord, I'll run to the prayer wall with you, away from the group. But maybe if you could just come, if you'd be willing to make that step, if it's you, don't feel the emotional. I'm not trying to be one of those emotion manipulating pastors. I'm asking if the Holy Spirit's tugging at you, going, this is me, I have wounds. And I've passed wounds on, and I am so stinking done with it. If that's you, then let's get healthy together. I want you to be world changers. Let's take it to God. So I'm going to open up the altar. I'm going to have Dr. Heidi play some amazing songs. The words should impact your soul. But this is the altar. It's open. And meet with God. Don't meet with me. Don't meet with each other. Meet with God. And this is one of those rare moments. I don't do this. We don't pull over like this. I don't stay at the stop sign very often. This is an important stop sign. If you leave here with not letting the Lord touch that thing in your heart, it's not because there was an opportunity. Father, your name is above all names. It's the only one that matters. It's the only purpose we have is the church. Thank you that by your stripes and your wounds we are healed. Help us to be healing for the nation, Lord. That this wouldn't just be a series in our church. This would be a moment and a movement in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.